As we prepare for the message, would you bow with me in a word of quietness and a moment of focus? Amen. All right, let's talk about New Year's resolutions. Have you made yours? I gave up on mine a long time ago, that I just stopped making the darn things because I was never able to get any of them to make a difference in my life. I was never able to continue them, to make them last through the year. You know, how many of us get to January 2nd and they're done? January 3rd and they're a distant memory. These resolutions. What are New Year's resolutions? They are expectations. Expectations that are given to us. Given to us by whom? Well, sometimes we would like to think that our expectations are given to us by ourselves. You know, I want to be a different person. I want to do things in a different way. But in reality, a lot of those expectations are given to us by culture and society around us. Let me give you an example. My friend Sarah lived up in Bismarck, and I remember the year that Sarah said, "This is it, this is it, this is the year that I am going to do something different. I'm going to get my life in control, and so here's what I'm going to do." And she had this entire regimen laid out. She was going to get up at 4:30 every weekday, giving herself a break on the weekends, and at 5 o'clock, she was going with a friend, so now she had accountability, and they were going to be the first ones at the fitness center when it opened at 5 a.m., and she was going to work out, and she was going to eat a healthy breakfast, and it was so much fun to listen to her. Day number one went great. Day number two went great. Day number three, it went great. Day number four, she was rosy and uplifted, she was feeling so good. Day number five, the weekend. Day number six, the weekend. Day number seven, let's not get up at 4:30. How about we get up at 5 and we'll be to the fitness center by 5:30. Yeah, well, by day 10, the entire thing had collapsed. Why? These were expectations that had been imposed on her. It was not realistic. Let's just begin by saying Sarah was not a morning person. No, no. And so what she was looking at was, she was saying, I need to get in shape. I need to lose weight. I need to eat better. I need. Whose expectations were those? Those weren't hers. Those were culture's expectations. Those were society's expectations. Those were looking across at the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence and saying, well, I wish I looked like that. I wish I could be like that person. Oh, you know, it's all of those expectations that are put on us by culture and society around us that eventually become so internalized that we think they're our expectations. And our resolutions reflect exactly that. So how did this turn out? Well, it was a few years ago that Sarah and part of her family came from Bismarck, drove all the way down to Spearfish. They were on a little bit of vacation. And we got to go to the coffee shop with them. It was so much fun. Now, she still looked the same. Oh, you know, she was maybe a couple, 3 pounds lighter. She had a different hairstyle. But she was the same Kathy, except that she wasn't. She wasn't the same Sarah. She was completely different because Sarah now had a different face. Oh, no, not physically, emotionally. There was something in Sarah that had changed. You could tell that there was something in Sarah that had said, it's not about what they expect, it's about what I expect and about what God expects in me. And God said to her, Will you just go be Sarah? Will you just stop trying to be somebody else? Just be the person I created you to be. Radical concept, she decided to do that. And there was such a joy that was in her face. These expectations that we have, our lives are often enslaved by the subjunctive. What is the subjunctive? I love language, and I love the English language. In the English language, there is a case, the subjunctive case, which is kind of a maybe case. It's that part of our language that says shoulda, woulda, coulda. Well, I should be doing this. I would be doing this. Well, you know, I guess I could be doing this. The problem with the subjunctive case is that it's filled with too many maybes and oughts. I ought to be doing that. That's not realistic, because that's outside expectations that, again, are put on our shoulders. Where do these come from? They come from the place in our lives where we hear from the people and society around us, you're not enough. You're not enough. And if I want to be enough, then I guess I shoulda, woulda, coulda. Well, I really ought. Well, maybe I, this is the subjunctive case. No, we do not have to be slaves to the subjunctive case. And in the Gospel according to Matthew in the second chapter is the story of the Magi coming to find Jesus. There are all kinds of details that are missing from this, which makes it really part of the marvelousness of this story. So the story, as it is given to us, says this. There was a star that shone on the night of Jesus' birth. Far to the east, there were, we call them magi, we call them wise men. They were probably astrologers. This was probably in Persia. And this was very likely people who were of the Zoroastrian faith. Why would I say that? Zoroastrianism was an ancient faith that believes in really studying the stars. First of all, it's astrology of mapping the skies and seeing where the heavens are moving, how they are. It's the science of astrology. But then in their faith, they would also turn it into astronomy. And it would take astrology and astronomy, combining not just what was moving, but what does it mean? And they would apply this into their lives. These stars are moving in this direction, and that means this down on Earth. They would apply it and make it a part of their faith, and their faith would affect their science. And so these astrologers came from the east, and they came to Jerusalem. They talked to Herod's court, and they said, where is this one that we believe is born to be king of the Jews? Now, first of all, that was a bad question to ask of the man who was the king of the Jews. Herod was a brutal, brutal man, and he had no intention of any new king being allowed to live. And so working with the priests, with the researchers, with the scribes there in Jerusalem, they were able to ascertain that they were talking about Bethlehem. And so the Magi went to Bethlehem, and they found Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. Why did they do that? They got as far as Jerusalem, and they had to ask for help. And the help from Herod and from the scribes was, go, go, go. And Herod said, and when you find this king, you come and tell me. Were the Magi searching for Jesus because of Herod? No. Were the Magi searching for a Messiah because the Jewish leaders had told them to? No. They were pursuing, they were searching, they were exploring because of the expectations that were inside of them. They wanted to do this. This was not some task that had been imposed on them. It was not some government that had said, now you will do this. No. They were searching because they wanted to. The expectations came from within. These expectations, they were doing it for themselves. How do we see our expectations? We see the expectations that swell up, well up, rise up within us. As followers of Jesus Christ, we believe that a lot of this comes when we try to follow God. I love it. Mahatma Gandhi one time was getting onto a train, and as he was doing so, there was a reporter who shot a question at him and simply hollered out, Gandhiji, what is your message? And Gandhi turned to him and said, my life is my message. My life is my message. This was also true of Jesus. Think about this. What were the expectations that were placed on Jesus? And how did Jesus react to those? He broke expectations at every step. Jesus talked with people he never should have talked to. Oh, good Lord. He talked with women when he wasn't supposed to. He touched lepers when he wasn't supposed to. He broke expectations all the time. Whose expectations? He broke the expectations that were given to him by his own religious, his Jewish community, and his Jewish leaders. They interpreted the scripture and they said, all right, this is what it means for you. 613 laws, you need to obey all 613 laws. He was given expectations by the Roman government. Everybody was. He was given expectations in his community, no matter what community he was in. In Nazareth, later in his adult years in Capernaum, as he went down and traveled into Jerusalem, he shattered expectations every chance he could get. Where were the expectations that he followed coming from? Well, of course, from God. Did you make resolutions this year? What expectations are underneath those resolutions? And where did those expectations come from? Did they come from God? Did they come from God? So, what are the expectations of a new year for you? What are the expectations? I have expectations that I hold for you. Many of you have expectations that you expect of me. We have expectations for our community, for ourselves, for our churches. We hold these expectations. Where are those expectations coming from? Because the most important ones are the expectations that are coming from God. These are not imposed and heaped on our shoulders. Rather, they are given to us and they well up, swell up, rise up within us in order to give us full and complete life. Like what? What is it that God expects of us? Well, how about this? You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. What does the Lord expect of you? How about this? You will act justly, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. What does God expect of you? Well, how about this? You will do unto other people as you would have them do unto you. All right? What does God expect of you? How about this? When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was without clothes, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was sick, you cared for me. All of these words, what does God expect of us? There they are. Not expectations that are piled on our shoulders with guilt that is given, but rather with a life-giving expectancy that says, do this and you will truly live. So what does this mean? It means for us that we can live in patience, peace, kindness, care, compassion, discernment, trying to understand when understanding is so difficult. All of these things, simply living as Christ would have us live. What does it not mean? It means that we will not live in anger, and it is January inside of a presidential transition year. Oh my goodness. You know what? It means that we will try to have patience and understanding. It means that as we continue to work through our difficulties in whatever fashion, that we will not do so in anger, that we will not do so in frustration, that we will not do so with impatience, that we will not do so in meanness. Kindness means everything. Let me tell you about a tribe in South Africa. It's called the Babemba tribe. The Babemba tribe, they tell me, has a fascinating tradition. When there is someone in their tribe, in their village, who has had a criminal record, who has made mistakes, who has offended, when the balance of the tribe has been thrown out by an individual, the tribe stops. They bring the individual into the middle of the village. There in that village center, that person is surrounded, not forced, not held, not bound, but is surrounded by the village. And one by one, people come up to that person and they speak of all the good things that that person has done. They speak, they tell that person of the ways in which their lives have been changed because of that person's goodness and kindness and care and compassion. This might take a short amount of time, or it can take days. But they speak the words of forgiveness. They speak the words of compassion. They speak the words of beautiful expectation. This is the Babemba tribe. Can you imagine what would happen if we would try this? Well, maybe we have tried it. I want to share with you the words of John Lewis. We lost John Lewis this last year. He was one of our congressmen, one of our long-standing congressmen. He was African-American and was one of those who marched with Martin Luther King Jr. across the bridge in Selma. And he grew up then. He matured into a man who was elected into Congress and was there for decades. This is a man who knew what expectations were all about. And at one point, he wrote this. Study the path to others to make your way easier and more abundant. Lean toward the whispers of your own heart. Discover the universal truth and follow its dictates. Know that the truth always leads to love and the perpetuation of peace. Its products are never bitterness and strife. Clothe yourself in the work of love, in the revolutionary work of nonviolent resistance against evil. Anchor the eternity of love in your own soul and embed this planet with goodness. Release the need to hate, to harbor division, the enticement of revenge. Release all bitterness. Hold only love, only peace in your heart, knowing that the battle of good to overcome evil has already been won. Choose confrontation wisely. But when it is your time, don't be afraid to stand up, and speak out against injustice. And if you follow your truth down the road to peace and the affirmation of love, if you shine like a beacon for all to see, then the poetry of all the great dreamers and philosophers is yours to manifest in a nation, a world community, and a beloved community that is finally at peace with itself. May it be that as we begin this new year, that we can begin it together with expectations, a new, ancient expectation that calls for love and working together, a new, ancient opportunity to meet the needs of the world in which we live. May it be that your world begins in your own living room. May it be that peace begins with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask that you would allow peace to well and swell and rise, and that it may be within us, flowing out into those around us. And as we find others who bring peace, that, Lord, you would help us together to work for this peace in your name. Amen.